Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Donna W., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in California. Today is Wednesday, February 25th, and this is the 10th in the Big Book, and we're at page 21 in the first paragraph, starting with, "But what about the real alcoholic?" through one paragraph ending, "Once he starts to drink." Today's readers are: for the 12 steps, Susan G. For the 12 traditions, Julie E.B. For the reading of the Big Book passage, Penny L.C. Reading a Vision for You paragraph at the end, Leslie M. And any other backup, Julie E.B. If everyone can please mute your phones, so I can hear some backup background noise. And then we have newcomer greeters, Kathleen W. And announcements of Shelley E. The reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting for February 24th is 23,234. That's 23234. And for today's February 25th, 7 a.m. meeting, 23,236. That's 23236. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no positions on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive eating can recover through abstinence, the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery, and I ask Susan G. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Susan G., recovered compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps we took of Overeaters Anonymous. Step 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me give service this month. I pass.
Thank you, Susan G. Julie E.B., please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., recently recovered in Colorado Springs, Colorado. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as God may express God's self in our group conscience. Our leaders are trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully supporting declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA ought, as such, ought never be organized, but we can create service boards or committees directly responsible to those we serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Julie E.B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. Have a quiet meeting. Everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 21 in the first paragraph. That's starting with, but what about the real alcoholic, through one paragraph ending, once he starts to drink, and we'll have comments on that one paragraph. And I would like Penny L.C. to please read and comment on that paragraph.
Thank you, Donna, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. But what about the real alcoholic? He may start off as a moderate drinker. He may or may not become a continuous hard drinker. But at some stage of his drinking career, he begins to lose all control of his liquor consumption once he starts to drink. So for me, as a compulsive overeater, I ask myself, well, did I follow that same pattern? And I have to answer actually truly yes, thanks to the progression of my disease as well. And so then, can I control? Or am I the real compulsive overeater? Well, I know I have an obsession of my mind that tells me my binge food will make my discomfort, my disturbance, my angst better. It will somehow soothe my grief and ease my hurt. I then am sure that partaking of my desired foods will make it better. However, time and again, I have that first bite and the allergy is ignited in my body and the intense craving takes hold and takes off. To identify further, I ask myself, why do I behave like this with that first bite? Well, because I have come to see that the first compulsive bite will be the first step back to disaster, to humiliation, to shame, to guilt, to excruciating suffering. And why do I take that first bite? Because I have an obsession of my mind, an allergy of my body. And why couldn't I stay stopped? Because I didn't know what I didn't know, and I couldn't see what I couldn't see. I was immersed in the insanity of blaming others while trying to control others. What had become of common sense and willpower? Well, they were both the wrong solutions to the problem. A problem I couldn't solve by my logic or my will. Why? Because the problem is centered in self-reliance instead of the solution, which is reliance on a power greater than myself. I have a spiritual problem that needs a spiritual solution. The good news is that I found one in my higher power. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Penny LC. Now is the time for your shares. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please let others jump in.
Paul R.
Paul R. Wendy B.
Sandy K.
Janice PM.
Andy K, Janice PM.
Sherry,
hold on. I heard, was that Brucey?
Yeah.
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Lori H, Julie P.
Sherry. I think I heard Julie P first, a second. Julie P, and then Lori H. We're getting everyone there.
Julie EB.
Julie the EB. So I'm going to pause there. We have quite a lineup, and thanks for all jumping in. And then if you can all share where you're calling from when you speak. So I have Paul R., Wendy B., Sandy K., Janice P.M., Bruce E., Wendy M., Julie P., Lori H., and Julie E.B. So we'll start there, and then I will say time when your time is up. And if everyone can please mute the Paul R. Paul, please go ahead.
This is Paul R., recovering, compulsive, overeater, and the real. A real addict with when it comes to food. And what a great reminder. I'm just so grateful to be in this line. You know, this is my home group, if I can call it. I just love to be a part of just strong recovery here. And this is what I craved always. And you know, it's just going through paragraph by paragraph the chapters. And the first thing is 164 pages, just so important because, you know, like in my last run, when I relapsed, my sponsor really pointed out to me, like, you know, let's read this. What's the difference between, you know, like a normal hard and then the real alcoholic? I think I really got it. That I am a real alcoholic, and I started off as a normal drinker, a moderate drinker, and I went to a hard drinker, and then, you know, like the progression that I what I really needed to see in this paragraph, that this is what happened, and I became a real alcoholic, the progression. Once the cucumber become a pickle, it never goes back to cucumber, unfortunately. And I really need a reminder for that, you know, like that I lose all control of my liquor consumption. Like once I start picking up sugar, the game is over. And I don't know when I come back, and I don't even know if I come back at all. Because it's that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the voice who's talking now, it's gone. And I don't know if ever comes back. So, you know, I encourage you, if you are new, or if you're coming back, or if you are in the food, to speak up. Because if I can hear you, that I can call you, and if I can hear your number, I can give you a call and tell you what happened to me, that now I am in the sunlight of the spirit and how to stay there. You know, I you know, that there is a different surrender at one time comes, And you just don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. And I certainly know. Now I know what to do. And I pretty much see that what I know what not to do. And it's a daily reprieve. You know, and that alcoholic mind I still have. And the allergies never, I cannot be cured. I can recover. That's the only thing I can do today. And I'm just grateful to recover with you today. Thanks very much to share your path.
Thank you, Paul R. in California. Next up, we have Wendy B., followed by Sandy K.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. The main point in this paragraph to me is that at some stage in my compulsive overeating, I began to lose all control of my consumption once I start eating. And in my case, the losing all control looked like eating a bucket of movie theater popcorn and going back for the free refill. And that wasn't enough. So I stole the bucket of a couple who vacated their seats near us. And I proceeded to eat all of their popcorn. And when I was done, I was going to get their free refill. And I saw them coming back. And I hid in the bathroom in shame until the movie was over and they had left. And I was just so embarrassed with my behavior. And I couldn't stop. I couldn't use self-control to limit my consumption. You know, and I had shame and remorse. You know, I left my husband to deal with any questions they had. You know, I was just mortified by my behavior. And that was my bottom. That shame motivated me to seek help in the OA program. And, you know, that progression of starting out with a normal amount and losing all control and eating so much more than any normal eater would consume, you know, just showed me without a doubt, you know, that I was not normal, you know. And I realized I needed a power greater than myself, you know. You know, that will help me to resist the call of my binge foods, you know, and I realized in program that I needed to, you know, set strong boundaries around certain substances by abstaining completely, you know, since I couldn't manage, you know, resisting the temptation once I started. And I just have real clarity around that now, you know, and I'm just so grateful for that awareness, you know, that I'll never be a normal eater. You know, I can just embrace who I am and do what I need to do to protect my sanity and my serenity around food. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy B. in Arizona. Next up, I have Sandy K., followed by Janice P.M.
Thank you. This is Sandy K., recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. What a great paragraph. I want to thank the first reader. And then one of the readers before me was talking about progression. And I started thinking, I always thought I knew when my compulsive eating started. But it goes way back before I was thinking in my 20s. It goes back to when I was in fifth grade. And I remember this vividly, and I'm 78. I came home with a bad report card. I don't know if it was one subject or whatever it was. And I guess I was nervous about showing it to my parents. And the first thing I remember walking into the house, I knew where my father kept the liquor cabinet. And I said, maybe I should have a drink. I didn't. But that I had, so perhaps I was born with alcoholic thinking, DNA. They say fat is a family affair. And then when I was 16, I was on a teen tour. I want to say locked in a bus with other teens for a month. And I was normal weight when I went on. And I was really, really had gained a lot of weight when I got off. I don't even know how my clothes fit me. And years later, my mother told me she cried when she saw me get off the bus. I was huge. And she took me to a diet doctor in those days, and he gave me speed. I guess it was speed because I remember running around the block at 10 o'clock at night. And I lost the weight. And I kept the weight off until I was in college, where I started drinking again. Not again, but I started drinking. And it's by the grace of God, I don't know why, but thank you. I'm not an alcoholic. I am a food addict. And then I, whatever happened, I stopped drinking, and I was a normal weight again. And then in my 20s, I was living in Manhattan, and I was going to move to Florida to supposedly get engaged. And my gut, I guess my gut said, no, this is a bad idea. This is not the right person for you. But I drowned it out with food. It started slowly. And by the time I got on the plane to move to Florida, I was shopping in Lane Bryant after being a normal weight. So my pattern is to numb myself. And as progression, it's a progression. And today, I wouldn't even try to have anything with sugar in it. I've had two relapses in the decades I'm in program, and it started by not doing something that I always did before.
Fine.
Thank you. So it's a progression, and I don't want to see where the next progression would take me. By the grace of God, I'm abstinent. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Sandy K. in Florida. Next up is Janice P.M., followed by Bruce E.
Thank you so much. I think you called me. I was unmuting. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, my name is Janice P.M. Pardon me. And I am from Massachusetts, and I'm a real compulsive overeater. And I like that word, real. You know, they have diamonds today that aren't real, but they look wonderful, you know. But the true fact is that they're not real. They're fake, right? So, you know, that was me. I know today that I am a real compulsive overeater. I know I'm not an alcoholic because of my experience for today only. I got very, very sick years ago when I was drinking some alcohol in some certain foods, and I got so sick. Guess what? I'm in my eighth decade, and I still remember that, but not with food. When I pick up certain substances into my body, it has to go into the body first, and that's all about craving. That's when my craving starts in my body on about certain foods. Now, I tried for years to get out of this program to think. I don't have the same problem as them. I was trying to compare myself out of OA. I didn't want to be a compulsive overeater. I wanted to just have, you know, a little bit and then stop. But my real problem was I could stop, you know, and I could stop for a long time. One time I stopped for a year because I wanted to get the medal or whatever they were presenting. And the next day I ate. So the word I want to say for myself is I cannot stop entirely. Entirely means to stop. You know, you're a red light. You have to stop. You don't decide, well, I'm going to go here now. And there's no green light. But not with me. I could stop, but I could not stop from starting again because I had a physical problem of craving. They call it a phenomenon. That once that craving, once that substance is in my body, I can't stop. So it's simple if you're not a real compulsive overeater just to stop, right? But I couldn't do that because my mental illness told me it's okay. Oh, yeah, no, it's okay, Janice. You can do that with all kinds of reasons and excuses. Start again, and then you can stop again. Yeah, I did. I started, I stopped. I started, I stopped. I really didn't know the problem. And, you know, I can't get a solution if I didn't know my problem. I thought it was this, right. It was my husband. And I think I'm going to pass on that. I knew the solution. Thank you. Once I knew the physical and spiritual problem that I have. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you, Janice PM in Massachusetts. Next up, I have Bruce E. But first, let me just remind folks, we're on page 21 on the first paragraph, starting with the what about the real alcoholic, finishing once he starts to drink. So Bruce E., please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Wendy M.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm Bruce E. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater in Southwest Florida. And, let's see. I am the real alcoholic, real compulsive overeater. And the reason that I know that is I have proved that to myself over and over and over for years and years. Once I start eating, I can't stop. If I'm eating the wrong stuff, if I just eat a little bit of the wrong stuff, then I just start thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. Want more, want more, want more. So that proves to me that I'm a food addict. And I think I did start out as a moderate eater, because I remember back times when, you know, I could overeat, you know, go out to a buffet and really eat a lot, not eat dinner, you know, do it in the afternoon, not eat dinner, and then not eat till the next day. Or if I went to a buffet in the evening, I could really overeat and not even eat breakfast the next day and just have lunch, you know. So crazy. I mean, that's the way the craziness started. But as a moderate eater and then into it, a hard eater, okay, so I became a hard eater next, where I do all that stuff, only not miss any meals. And then I became a food addict. So I practiced the addiction long enough to get to the point where I was an addict. And I am an addict. And I still do crazy things because I have that obsession of the mind and the obsession and the compulsion. I still have that. I haven't gotten rid of that yet. But I really have worked on it, that's for sure. And I think I'm getting very close. But so my wife and I went out after church. We had a big dinner and fine, you know, within my food plan. It was great. And on the way home, I'm thinking about stopping and picking up a non-red light food and having it in between. And then I thought, well, I'll have that. Then I won't have any. I'll have less dinner when I get home, you know. And whether I did or I didn't, I don't remember. But I ate away from the food plan, you know. So I do that because I'm an addict. I'm a sick person. I am definitely an addict. I'm not a bad person trying to get better. I'm a sick person trying to get well. And so there was a point in my hard eating that I switched over and I became an addict. And it says here, he begins to lose all control of his liquor, his food consumption, once he starts to drink. So once I start to eat, once I start to eat compulsively, it's all done. I'm done with. So I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce E. in Florida. Next up, I have Wendy M., followed by Julie P.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you for your service. The first thing I look at here, and I've been told that these pages are about identifying in, you know, sometimes I'll work with someone and I'm like, you might just be a hard eater. But we have to diagnose ourselves. Nobody's going to tell me. But this is not rocket science. I know that I am absolutely the real deal. And I have to say that this word control really interests me, because my whole life, right, I've been trying to control and manage and fix, right? And when I try to manage and control everything, I get hungry. That's what happens. And this out of control, losing all of control, like all I've been doing is obsessing. I'll give you an example. I got really skinny right before my wedding, and I made sure that the top of the cake was sugar-free. I wasn't in vision yet, so I didn't know that sugar-free was also a problem. Anyways, it doesn't matter. I was attempting to control it. So that night, I ate the entire top of the cake and said, you know what? I'm super skinny, So probably I won't have a problem if I eat the rest of the cake. And I basically did that, you know. And I call it more about alcoholism, more about thinking. And when I call it more about thinking, I call it more about lying. You see, because the way I try to control things is all a lie, right? How is Wendy lying is how is Wendy trying to control absolutely everything. And just an example, it's, you know this Thanksgiving and who's in the kitchen doing the dishes. Ooh, there's apple pie. You know what? I'll just eat the apple pieces and call it my fruit for the night, right? Oh, but there's something on. Well, it doesn't matter. You see, I can weigh and measure in my mind. I can weigh and measure my life in my mind. And that's all control, right? Or I'm going 65 miles an hour. My weighed and measured piece of apple falls to the floor. You know what I did, right? I put everybody in harm's way, right? I'm reaching madly for that one piece of apple that's mine because it's weighed and measured. Like, this is the insanity. I must lie to get the hit. I've got to lie. I've got to say it makes sense that whatever's in the salad bowl is salad, no matter what is in the bowl itself. I must lie to get the hit. I must control my addiction. I must run hundreds of miles to control my addiction. But here's the thing. We're given a design for living, so God's doing the heavy lifting. I don't have to control anything today. Everything is God's. I actually don't have to do anything except receive God. But how do I do that? How do I get God every single day so I'm not controlling, so I'm not lying? You know, today, one of the greatest gifts, my insides match my outsides. What I say and what I do match today. When I say no instead of yes, I mean it. I don't have to control anything because I'm taking care of myself through God. God is doing all of it. God does the heavy lifting. All I have to do is back off so God can do God's magic. And that's the beauty today. There's nothing for me to control. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Wendy M. in Colorado. Next up, I have Julie P., followed by Lori H.
Good morning. This is Julie P. I am definitely a food addict, compulsive overeater from the state of Minnesota. You know, I really wished that I would have been able to identify in a couple paragraphs ago. I didn't want to identify myself with the words in this paragraph. My disease does not want me to believe that I am a real addict. But the truth is, as long as I live in denial, I will continue to feed the disease. But I am so grateful that I am in the room with all of you, because you totally understand what it is like to be a real compulsive overeater. You know, I didn't understand until I was 58 years old that this was my life. I started out at the age of 7 by stealing precious coins from my father and going to the store and buying penny candy. Oh man, was I beat when he found out that I had been stealing his coins. Oh, I only took one at a time so he wouldn't notice. Well, that was the first lie, and the lies just continued my whole life. And I know, you know, I heard somebody say the other day, if God was only chocolate, and I thought about that. You know, I've put the alcohol down because of the sugar content. I could care less if I had a drink today. But oh my gosh, if only God was chocolate. But as long as I keep coming back, I know that by building my relationship with my higher power, that is the only hope that I have. Otherwise, this disease, the allergy, and the mental twist will strangle me. And thank you all for being here and saving my life today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Julie P. Oh, I didn't catch where you're calling, where you called from.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Thank you, Julie P. from Minnesota. Next up is Lori H., followed by Julie E.B., and then after Julie, we'll take names. I think we'll have maybe time for a couple more shares. Go ahead, Lori, and share where you're calling from.
Hi, Hi, this is Lori H. from Florida. Thank you, family. You know, somebody shared already what I was going to share, you know, and that is we can never go back to being a cucumber. And I would know, I tried. I ate cucumbers for years. It's not happening. But what I will share is something a little different, and that is when I finally surrendered and was willing to follow the suggestion of my sponsor, because I am a real alcoholic with food, that I could get a nutritionist and weigh and measure my food. And I got that nutritionist, and the first time we sat there and she went through a litany of questions for me, she was helping me get clear on my alcoholic foods, and we were going through the foods one by one by one by one by one. And when I got to potato, when she mentioned, she goes, how about potatoes for a carb? Because I kept shooting her down on all the carbs because I was so afraid of carbs that I was going to get fat, because carbs meant fat to me. That's, you know, part of one of my diet mentalities. And I remembered the visions of what I used to do from the potato stack stand in the Aventura Mall. And I was like, ooh, potato. And she goes, that right there, that's an alcoholic food. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she goes, anything that makes you do that response right there. And I was like, oh, and I thought of Homer Simpson with the donut in The Simpsons. And I was like, oh, so anything that makes me do a Homer Simpson, oh, you know, and she was like, yes, exactly. And that just flashed through my mind just now, because I'm still paying for the nutritionist I never thought I could afford because my finances were a mess. And everything in my head was a vision of, oh my God, I'm going to go hungry. I'm not going to have money for food, and I'm going to starve, and I'm going to have to live off. They're going to have the food delivery truck and embarrassingly deliver food to me full of stuff that, like, we used to donate when we were kids, when we wanted to clean out our cabinets. You know, I'm going to live on canned beans and Franks, and, you know, and I'm going to die, you know, 300 pounds in my apartment, and they're going to have a crane cut through the windows because I can't even walk. And I had that episode of Homer Simpson where I was wearing the muumuu. If I was lucky enough to find something that fit me, I was in the plus, 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 plus over 300 pounds section over at Walmart, which of course they put that rack right on the corner where everybody can see you, right on the crossroads. So you're equally embarrassed and shamed by everyone. But yeah, I was going to live off of the government, and I was going to die up there in my apartment, and I resigned myself to that fact. And, you know, God sent his search and rescue. And today I am recovered. I'm in a normal body weight, and I'm so grateful that this is my life. My favorite people in the world, my indeed chosen family, are here in OA. And, you know, it's no surprise to me that somebody else thought of what I was going to say. Great minds think alike. What are great minds? It's not an egoic thing. They are guided by God. And I'm very grateful that my mind is being guided by God's, because left on my own, that's all, folks. Love you all. Have a wonderful Wednesday.
Thank you, Lori H. in Florida. And then next up, we have Julie E.B., and I'll take a couple names after Julie.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. What about that real alcoholic? You know, for me, I know from this book that the disease centers in my mind. So I start out with this idea of control, and that I can do a little of this. And whenever I start thinking, oh, I can do a little of this, whether it's exercise for me, eating, not eating, trying harder, whenever I'm pushing, I know that self-reliance, I know that self-will. When I reach out for help, when I say I can't do this by myself, I don't know what's best, for me, that's when I know. That's when I know that even though I am a real addict, that I have a path to a solution. So I started out moderate, but then began managing, 12, 13 with exercise. And you know, then I would go hard, go on diets hard. And before you know it, I was an extreme over and under eater. And I lived at over 100 pounds overweight for so many years, and so much shame and anger and despair, and also illness that came, and blame and all of that stuff just made another bite, another bite, another bite. Until I met someone with that bright light in their eyes who said, came to my my OA meeting, and she worked with this meeting. She listened to this meeting, and I began to hear about how there's a choice. We don't have any control. I have no more control now, 9 years later, than I did before, but I do have a program. I do have powerlessness and coming to believe that a power greater than me can restore me to sanity. I can't. My higher power can. I think I'll let my higher power today. So for me, reaching out for help is the number one action step against my disease. I've had a tooth extraction. It makes me feel a lot of self-image things. And so I'm really leaning hard on all of you. And I'm so glad to hear familiar voices, new voices. I hope everyone feels like they are home here. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Julie E.B. in Colorado. So it looks like we have time for definitely two, if three. The third person will probably do it. 1 or 2 minute share. So who would like to share? And if this is your first time sharing, jump in today. So go ahead, please.
Liz.
Lorraine S. Jordan L.
Okay. Sorry, folks. So I had like a Rainy and there's a Lynn, I think, before.
Liz K. Lorraine S.
Okay, so Liz K. And what was that name? Lorraine?
Lorraine S.
Lorraine S. and Jordan L. I'm not sure if I got your name right, Lorraine, but great. So we are on page 21, the first paragraph. What about the real alcoholic? Finishing with once he starts to drink. And I've got Liz K., Lorraine S., and Jordan L. And if you could please share where you're calling from and the correct pronunciations of your names.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Moraine, like Doremi, Moraine.
Oh, thank you, Moraine.
Yeah. You. Thank you all for your service and everyone here in this meeting. I like to call my first day the first day I went to the Vision Conference. I am one of you. When I was reading this, and it said, but what about the real alcoholic? I had a real aha moment because, you know, this is saying, what about, are you a real sick person? And so you have to know since like the second week in November, I've been like, okay, am I that moderate person? Am I that hard? And so I looked at the text again, like, I think they're making a joke here because whether I'm moderate or hard, or have been, or not, I'm still a compulsive overeater. This paragraph says I'm going to lose all control, right? So this is interesting because when I thought about losing control, I thought about all the crazy things I did over food, you know, stealing food, you know, eating off the ground, eating out the garbage can, you know, eating people's stuff and hiding and I thought about all these things that make me like the real deal, you know what I mean? Compulsive overeater. And this whole thing about there is a solution, like they solved the drinking problem. And so I'm just so grateful to be in this program and know that, you know, with God and these 12 steps, I can move forward in recovery. I white-knuckled how I arrived here is on a fitness journey and, you know, Weight Watchers, this, that, the whole story we've all had in here. I white-knuckled 90 pounds away and 11 pounds up. I met everyone at Vision, and I knew I was at home, and I don't have to fight as hard and manage and control, and, yeah, I don't have to do that anymore. This debate is really crushed here because I'm a compulsive overeater, and I will lose control whether I have it now or not. If I don't abstain, it's going to happen. So thank you, guys, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Marini S. Next up, I have Liz K., followed by Jordan L.
Sorry, can everybody hear me? This is Liz K.
compulsive
overeater. Yeah, please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, moderator, and thank you, everybody, for this wonderful meeting. Yeah, a real alcoholic, a real compulsive eater. When I read this paragraph, it just reminds me of the delusion and the rationalization that my disease plays in my life. And I have to remember that the disease is the mental obsession of either trying to lose weight or I'm overeating and don't give a crap. And it's like this cynical cycle that I cannot break on my own. And in my experience, I've had to remember that it's really a mental disease, and the way that I look on the outside really has little to do with how I am a compulsive eater. I've struggled with that because I didn't become very overweight, but I'm definitely a compulsive overeater. And I have to say that out loud because my disease wants to convince me every day, no, maybe you're just like a hard eater. And like, what a gift I can say today with full confidence that I am a real compulsive overeater, and I am with the community of people who just get where I'm at. And I'm just very grateful for that. And I'm grateful to God for being patient with me and letting me relapse the times that I did to get to this point of the clarity and conviction for today that I am a real compulsive eater and that there's a way out. I don't have to live that way anymore if I choose to lean into programming God. So just really grateful to be a real one and be surrounded by people who get it and love me, and I love them, and just wishing everybody a beautiful day ahead. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. K. Oh, I didn't catch where you were calling from.
Oh, California. Sorry about that.
Okay, great. I'm wishing you a beautiful day. And then, Jordan, we have about 1 minute for you, please.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for moderating this morning. My name is Jordan Al. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. And echo what everyone else has said. I'm very grateful that I found a group that not only could explain what it meant to be a real compulsive overeater, like what that was, but then was able to offer me a genuine solution. When I first came to Overeaters Anonymous, I identified in, but I didn't hear people talking about a solution. I didn't hear people talking about being recovered or working the steps or any of that. And so to offer a clear, concise explanation of what the problem is, but then also to be able to offer a clear direction on what the solution is. Like, that's the real magic. So anyway, I'll go ahead and pass. Thanks for letting me share.
And thank you. Thank you to everyone for your amazing shares. What an amazing group of shares we had today. I really appreciate hearing all of you share. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Leslie M., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be subjective only.
Good morning, Donna. Thank you for your service. I'm Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.